This is God's word. There is, therefore, now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank and praise you for this, your word. Open our hearts to your truth. Comfort us by the power of your Spirit at work in our lives. Open the eyes of our hearts that we might see your love and continue to be transformed by the renewing work of your Spirit. We ask in Jesus' holy name. Amen. I told you a little bit about our dog. Our dog, I think, is officially psychotic. But one smart thing about our dog is he loves the sun. Took him out yesterday to go to the bathroom. Oh no, the sun spoke to him and he flopped down on the deck and was very difficult to move. So I just let him stay there for a while. Sometimes we are overwhelmed by the warmth of the sun. We know if we go to the beach, there are people there who are probably there a lot because their skin looks more like leather than skin, who love the sun. There's some people who seem to need the sun, people that have seasonal affective disorder, that if they don't get enough sunlight, it really seems to affect them. But spiritually, we can sometimes get caught in places where we don't see the sun. S-O-N, S-U-N. Romans chapter 1 through 7, we can almost feel spiritually like we are going into an eclipse. The darkness of the reality of our brokenness and our sin of this fallen world can begin to overwhelm us. And then the Lord, by his grace, opens to us the vistas of his love, that we see the light of his Son in a way that sometimes we miss, because we're caught up in other things. Leon Morris points out that Romans chapter 8 is one of the most beautiful and powerful passages in all of Scripture. And I think it would be good for us, please stay fully dressed. You don't need your beach towel. But for all of us who are in Christ, I want you to let the glory of the Son of God shine on you as you look at this passage. Romans chapter 7 is really a pretty intense chapter. And it's probably that we go back to chapter 7, verse 6, to get a good connection to chapter 8. The Lord, through the Apostle Paul, says, but now we are released from the law. We can easily kind of miss that. Having died to that which held its captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. And then he goes on in chapter 7. But in chapter 8, we see this glorious picture of the love of God's mercy to us. As we look at this passage, notice we are told there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So now we live according to the Spirit of life. It's interesting that in this chapter there are no imperatives, there are no commands. That's a little unusual, but it's glorious. Now, this morning I want us to follow Paul's logic as he walks us through verse 1, 2, 3, and 4. And I want us to think about our own lives. We often struggle with the tyranny of the guilt of sin. We struggle with the reality of sin itself in our lives, but we also struggle with the guilt of sin. Almost two different kinds of things. But we need to be washed over by God's mercy and love. Sometimes Christians, we get into this pattern where we never smile. You look at the most unhappy person in the room. Oh yeah, he's a Christian. Really? We want to be filled with the love of God. Notice, verse 1, there is no condemnation for those in Christ. And that's what the Lord says to us in verse 1. No condemnation. Don't use it very often, but one of the benedictions from Scripture that I love is from Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. Now to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father. That's probably my favorite benediction. I use a different one because I think a lot of people like it maybe a little better. I think that's my favorite. Now to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. I don't think it gets any better than that. Believers in Christ, we have been set free from the bondage of sin and death. There is no condemnation, none, for those who are in Christ Jesus. To be in Christ Jesus is to be a believer. It's to have been taken from this world to Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's to believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty for your sins, and you have no other hope but what Christ has done for you on the cross. Paul will speak more of this. But faith in Christ That's our foundation. There is no condemnation. And as God's people, we need to feel this. We need to believe it. We need to be grounded in it. It is to be our hope. Faith in Christ, and I want you to notice, Paul doesn't use footnotes. Maybe your Bible does. God doesn't. There is no condemnation. There's no fine print. You know, you watch those commercials of medical stuff, and they start going into all the side effects. Your head may fall off. You know, it's sort of like, do I ever want to take this drug? No, I do not. Because the side effects sound worse than the disease. There is now, therefore, no condemnation. There's no fine print. And I've heard this new commercial where this guy starts talking so fast, I think he breaks the sound barrier. I think there's like a sonic boom in the middle of the commercial. He takes off. I can't understand a word he's saying. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ. God doesn't have an escape clause. I want you to think back on your life. Some of us can't think back very far. Some of us can think about a little bit more. I think back on my life. I look at the tangled web of my sin, my blindness, my brokenness, my frailty, all the things I missed, the times when, and today too, I can't ever figure out why God would save me. But he did. I still struggle with sin. But for us, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We've been taken, I'll say it again, from death to life. God saved us. Sometimes, kids, we like to play. We like to pretend. Back in the nursery, there's a little kitchen. We can play kitchen. But we know plastic food is not good for us. We won't eat it, I hope. It's a game. Pretend is fun. Remember years and years ago, had two nephews, young guys. Loved to watch police shows. Whenever I was in the driveway, I was pulled over more times than you can imagine. I had so many tickets. They took me off to jail. Of course, I escaped. Barely. It's fun to pretend. But when it's time for dinner, we leave pretend behind. We know there are people that they won't really quite get Christianity. That maybe they'll hope, but they haven't really put their faith in Christ. We want to help them understand what true faith really is. But to trust in Christ, we are free. Sin no longer owns us. God says there is no condemnation. Now, our lives change as we grow, as God works on our hearts. But there's no condemnation start to finish. And we have to remember that. That real faith is putting our faith in Christ, to believe he came into the world to die for our sin. And we trust in him as our Savior. We rest in him, and it's his salvation that moves us from death to life, that he transforms us. Are you in Christ this morning? Have you put your faith in him? Let's say you're not sure. Would you come talk to me and let me help you? Let's say you're sure. Then this promise is for you. Let's say that you wonder about it. I want this promise to be for you. Paul goes on. Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit has set you free. Now, notice the contrast. Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. What is the law of sin and death? It's hard for us to look at this and understand what is Paul really talking about. This contrast in this glorious chapter, we could think we could have some confusion. Now, what it seems to us and what it seems to most theologians is that the focus here really is the law of sin and death is this beautiful, wonderful law of God that doesn't bring salvation, but ultimately without Christ, it brings death because the flesh weakens it. And that's what we see as we go on in these verses, that the flesh weakened the law. And so for us, trying to keep the law, it brings sin and death. But we've been set free in Christ. Paul is building his argument. It's the law of the Spirit of life, the Holy Spirit, God's work in salvation. And we see that the law was weakened by the flesh. In fact, Paul doesn't really focus on the flesh as being evil. He focuses on it as primarily being weakened, that it's not strong enough. Now, again, sin flows out of the flesh, but his primary understanding is that it weakens the law. It isn't up to snuff. It's not good enough. We think about animals trapped in captivity. I don't know, in my YouTube feed, maybe I'm in the wrong section, who knows. But I get stuff, right? I get sea turtles that are tied up in nets. And people come along and set them free. I think they're happy when they're free. I see birds. I just saw an owl the other night, and they came along and they set this owl free, and it flew away. Sin is like a net, and it's a net that focuses us deeply on our own sin, and God has set us free from being under the law, being under the burden of sin. And I want you to notice what the Lord is saying. He spent seven chapters really to drive home to Jews and Gentiles, to really anybody who approaches this book, for us to get the reality of the brokenness of sin, The sin is all around us. Sin is all in us. Sin is real. It's a deep struggle. And then he wants us to see that all of a sudden the clouds are gone, and he shines the light of his love and mercy on us to see that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. I want you to understand, I'm being really redundant on purpose, because we forget this. We don't understand this. We fail to see the light of God's love as being the foundation of everything. Because we're Christians, we live differently. But you're not saved by what you do. You're not saved by growing. You're not saved by doing better. You're not saved by your works. You're saved by the finished work of Christ on the cross. And that's what Paul shows to us here in these four verses. He builds this glorious foundation for us, that we come back to our salvation to see what God has done for us, that we are completely free from the burden of sin. We pay nothing for our sin. God has done what the law couldn't do. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit of life has set you free. God has done what the law couldn't do. Look at verse 3. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Because we are in Christ, he moves us into a different place. But remember, in Mark chapter 5, verse 25 and following, there was a woman who had the flow of blood. We're not really told exactly what it was. I didn't look it up in Greek to see if it was more clear. She's got a flow of blood. It's been going on for years. The doctors of the first century couldn't figure out what was going on. And joyfully, she didn't get any of that medication with telling her about all the side effects and the fact that whatever she took, her head was going to fall off. But she couldn't get any help. And she saw Jesus. And she knew, here's a holy man. Here's a man who heals people. If I just touch him, he'll heal me. And so she went up and she touched him. And she was healed immediately. Jesus, in his human nature, who touched me? The woman comes forward and he tells her, daughter, your sins are forgiven, you've been healed. God has done what the law couldn't do. Now, I don't know where you are this morning. I don't know. I know we're all from different paths. I know I've talked to a lot of you. I know some of the things that you've battled. I don't know everybody. But wherever you are this morning, I'm convinced God brought you here to hear his word. And for some of us, we have a dark past. We have a lot of struggles. We've had broken people do broken things all over us. Some of us have done broken things all over other people. But what Jesus says to us is that for those who are in him, those who have put their faith in Christ, those who believe him to be your Savior, those of you who trust in him alone for your salvation, he has taken you from death to life, and no matter what your sin is, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I don't know if you try to look at the eclipse or not. I did. My wife got me those goggles. You can't see a thing with those glasses. Mine are really a stylish orange. And I'm keeping them, because you can't see a thing out of them. And I think, yeah, VBS. I'd be able to use them somehow. But imagine that we had glasses, that we could only see the love of God, that we wouldn't get caught up in all the other stuff. Now, we need to grow, and that will be by the power of the Holy Spirit. But we can get lost so easily. God has done what the law couldn't do. Think of this quote of Manson. Paul's teaching on various laws. Moses' law has right, but not might. Sin's law has might, but not right. The law of the Spirit has both right and might. It's by God's power. My dad told me when I was a kid, I don't remember the context, told me he and his twin brother were swimming across a quarry in southern Indiana. And he cramped up. And he knew he couldn't make it. So he told his brother, and my uncle grabbed him and pulled him along the rest of the way. We're not powerful enough to get across the quarry of this life. But for us who are in Christ, Jesus has grabbed us, and he'll carry us across. Jesus came and gave his life for us. God gave his son in the likeness of human flesh. Now again, God uses a strange way of articulating this to us. Jesus took on a real human nature, but he's in the likeness of fallen human sinful flesh, but without sin. He was born of a virgin. He is human, but without sin. And so he appears as us. And he comes to give his life for us. Sometimes we look at this passage and we say, what's really going on? Listen again how Leon Morris puts it. Reformed theologians have stressed that justification and sanctification are not to be separated. And it seems that this is what Paul is saying here. In the full sense, only Christ has fulfilled the law's requirements. But when we are in him, we are in measure to begin to live the kind of life that God would have us live. Notice that Paul does not say we fulfill the law's righteous requirement, but that the righteous requirement of the law is fulfilled in us, surely pointing to the work of the Holy Spirit in the believer. Before we came to know Christ, we were continually defeated by sin. When we came to know him and to receive the indwelling Holy Spirit, we were able to attain a standard we could never reach in our own strength. And again, not that we've fully defeated all of sin. It's a continual process of growth. When we came to know him and to receive the indwelling Holy Spirit, we were able to attain the standard we could never reach in our own strength. In interpreting these words, the emphasis on the way the Christian life is lived that is so stressed in this part of the letter is important. Earlier, Paul spoke of establishing the law, chapter 3, verse 31. There is something like that in here too. God is working in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. This morning I want us to notice that God shows us his love powerfully. And I want you to feel this. Don't let your flesh defeat you. Don't let Satan defeat you. Don't be weighed down by sin. For you who are in Christ, I want you to hear God's word. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Do we have sin in our lives? Yes. Have we failed? Yes. Do we struggle? Yes. Can we fill in the blank on all kinds of stuff? Yes. But also hear what God says. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We think about John Newton. We often think about his struggle and all kinds of issues with him. Hear his tombstone. In a small cemetery of a parish church in Olney, England, stands a granite tombstone with the following inscription. John Newton, clerk, once an infidel and libertine, a servant of slavers in Africa, was, by the rich mercy of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, preserved, restored, pardoned, and appointed to preach the faith he had long labored to destroy. Your testimony, your tombstone, the word about you. There might be a little bit of language that'll be different. But what will be the same is for all who are in Christ Jesus, we could write on our tombstones the reality that the Lord tells us in these words, for one who can say, there is therefore now no condemnation for this person, for they trusted in Christ Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Father in heaven, work in our hearts that we might see the beauty, the power, the life-changing reality of your love, that we would bow before your throne with joy, knowing that you have set us free from the bondage of sin and death, so that we can declare with your word your great love and your great mercy that you have proclaimed to us now to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. Thank you, Lord, for your great love and mercy that you've extended to us in Christ. Fill us with the joy of our salvation, we ask in Jesus' holy name.